Let us pray. In whatever way your Spirit pours out upon us, Lord, may it be so now. In whatever way we receive your word, let it be so now. In whatever way we are challenged to live and love and be as doers and hearers of your word, may it be so now. Amen. When I asked about remembering your baptism, some people said yes, some people don't remember. My baptism was notorious in that I reached my finger up toward the pastor's nose during it, which caused a great deal of consternation for my parents, but lots of laughter for the congregation. Fortunately, I don't remember that at all. Today we remember Jesus' baptism, and you have had such a wonderful experience. We have had a wonderful experience of water and word and the delight of a new life in our midst. And so when we remember Jesus' baptism, it calls to mind our own, but it also will, for many of us, recall what we just saw. Now, in the biblical text, this takes place out in the desert. And it is, apart from Mark's dramatic words, apparently not a very dramatic event. You'd think, with the heavens opening and the Spirit descending like a dove and a voice from heaven, might be a major event, but nobody in the story seems to notice. Nobody faints or becomes catatonic. Like the soldiers at the tomb, nobody says, "Did you see that? What just happened?" Or talk among themselves like the shepherds in the fields. And the only reason that we know that it actually happened at all is that the narrator lets us in on it. Think about that. The heavens are torn apart. Barbara Lundblad, who's a preaching professor at Union Theological Seminary, says it's not the heavens opening, like we open a door or close a door. This word from the Greek is schizo, torn, where we get the words schism and schizophrenia. It's no gentle parting of the clouds. It's torn apart. But unlike Epiphany or the Christmas story, where the news of Jesus' birth goes global, this event is local and isolated and practically unnoticed. Donald Jewell says, "The scene is all wrong. The Son of David should have crowds, but his inauguration is in the desert. There's no cheers, there's no conversions. The very barrier between heaven and earth is torn away, but people still live as if nothing had happened. John the Baptist is out in the desert at the Jordan offering a baptism of repentance, and people come to be cleansed of their sins." This was a recurring event in Jewish tradition. You could be washed clean of your sins. The ritual bath was part of it. It was a ritual that was part of the faith. We practice one baptism. Do you remember the movie of O Brother, Where Art Thou? Where the three escapees go in with the crowd and there's a glorious scene of a big baptism by the river and they're singing down to the river to pray. But only two of the escapees go in, and then one goes in and becomes baptized, and then he comes out and he says to the other two, "The minister told me that all my sins were washed away." And he said, "Even when he stole that pig that I was convicted for. And the second said, "But you said you were innocent of that." And he says, "Well, I lied. But that's been washed away too." I think maybe baptism is like that when we remember that all the sins are gone over, not just once, but over and over and over again, because God is generous and good. Jesus' baptism is not just a washing away of sins, but it brings the power of the Holy Spirit and a special relationship with God. When we baptize a child, when we baptize Lyra Joy, we say, "Lyra Joy, you, child of the covenant, have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." So what would happen, I wonder, if we remembered our baptism, even if we were too young to remember it? Probably not much in the world. The world would not notice. But what would happen if we remembered that the three things that happened to Jesus also happened to us? And what if we remembered that the things that happened to Jesus are also still happening with us and to us and for us? A friend of mine was baptized as a teenager, and in her tradition, she was baptized at confirmation. And later she grew on to have a life, but at some point there was a struggle in her soul and in her mind. She battled depression. Baptism does not inure us from the hardships of the world or the hardships of our lives. It is not a precursor or a prelude or a preventative of pain. It does not guarantee us happiness. But what it does guarantee us is that the three things that happened to Jesus are happening to us. That the Spirit of God is no longer hidden or away. That the heavens have literally been torn apart, and that the Spirit of God is now part of us, indeed part of our very nature. That we have also been declared beloved of God, and that God is pleased with us. When my friend was struggling with her depression, there was a time when she actually did contemplate ending her life. And then she remembered the words that were spoken over her, and she remembered the warmth of the water. And those things helped her live another day as she worked and walked through that time in her life. And so the challenge for us today is to remember our baptism. And how do we do that? If after the service you would like to come forward and take a stone from the water, please do so. If you would like to make a practice of remembering your baptism, it is a simple thing. Perhaps when you turn on the water in a faucet and see the abundance of clean water. Perhaps when you see raindrops on the windshield of your car. Perhaps when a puddle is splashed. Perhaps when you are washing a dish or receiving a glass of water in a restaurant. There are three things that are happening to you all the time. The Spirit of God has come. You are beloved. And with you, God is pleased. This sacrament is forever and for all time. You, children of the covenant, have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. May it be so. Amen.